This is a CBC podcast.
Support for delivery of this podcast comes from Chevrolet. At Chevrolet, we bring people together with the things that matter to them most. Visit Chevrolet.gm.ca.
Hello, I'm Sheila Rogers. Welcome to the best of Sounds Like Canada. You're listening to our podcast, Highlights of Sounds Like Canada, and you can catch our full show on CBC Radio 1 at 10 o'clock or a couple of times a day on Sirius Satellite Radio 137. Dr. Richard Béliveau was here last January to talk about his book, Foods That Fight Cancer. It was already a bestseller in Quebec, and after our conversation, we were flooded with mail too. Foods That Fight Cancer looked at the power of foods like green tea, turmeric, chocolate, and red wine to fight cancer. Dr. Béliveau's back with another book, one that puts those foods into everyday use, and it's called Cooking with Foods That Fight Cancer. I'll speak with him in just a moment. First, though, to the streets of Vancouver, to find out how people approach their diet and their bodies and cancer.
Well, I'm very conscious. I eat a lot of fruits and a lot of vegetables. Anything with the antioxidants, green tea.
I take a look at the labels and try to avoid trans fat and other unhealthy foods. I drink a lot of green tea, try to get in one or two cups a day.
The cancer. If you're going to get the cancer, you're going to get the cancer. I don't think it has to do with anything you eat. Do you? Both my parents died from cancer. I don't think it had to do with anything they ate. I don't know how they got it, but it could have been from the food, but I don't think so.
I've read some of the cancer research information. They send out what's in season, so I probably would just make sure I eat plenty of fruit and vegetables and then everything else in moderation to say. That's probably about it.
The thoughts of some Vancouverites on the relationship between food and cancer. Dr. Richard Béliveau is the author of Cooking with Foods That Fight Cancer, and he's been patiently waiting in our Montreal studio. Dr. Béliveau, good morning.
Good morning.
What did you think of what you just heard there?
I'm impressed first to hear people taking lots of fruits and vegetables. Unfortunately, the Canadian reality is not that good. It's about 65% of Canadians that do not eat a 5 recommended portion of fruits and vegetables a day. And the Canadian Food Guide is up to 7 portions of fruits and vegetables a day. So that's a lot. And contrary to what we've heard in one comment, cancer is a lifestyle disease. It's only 15% of all cancer that are strictly hereditary. Cancer is really related to lifestyle. The causes of cancer we know very well. 30% of all cancer is related to smoking. 30% of all cancer is related to bad eating habit. And the rest, you know, if you add 15% of hereditary source, the rest is a variety of items, lack of exercise, obesity, UV exposure, and so on. But for about 75% of all cancer, we could prevent them by changing our lifestyle. And unfortunately, this is not what we do.
So it is possible, the man that said, if you're going to get the cancer, you're going to get the cancer.
That's wrong.
That his parents did have it in their genes, possibly.
No, that's wrong. That's a misconception about people. Heredity is a predisposition. It's a possibility that you will develop the disease, but it is really associated with lifestyle. Lots of data support that. Identical twins, for example, that have exactly the same genes. If one kid develops a leukemia, it's only 5% of the identical twin that will develop the leukemia. And the rates of cancer in adopted children is the same rate of cancer as their adoptive parents, not their biological parent, as their adoptive parents.
Do you think that healthy eating suffers from some kind of identity or public relations crisis?
Yes, I think, you know, the bad thing that happened with good eating is that the people that start talking about the good eating in the 70s were granola and the recipe were horrible and nobody was interested in trying this.
Sawdust.
Yeah, no good. I think what we talk about here is going back to the traditional way of eating of the great cooking of this planet, the Chinese cooking, the Indian cooking, the Mediterranean sea area cooking that are delicious, loaded with vegetables. vegetables that are, you know, think about couscous, you know, delicious sauce, lots of vegetables, and that's the way to go. You know, cancer takes decades and dozens of years to develop. Most cancer we develop at 50. We've taken 30, 40 years to develop these, to allow these microtumors that we all develop randomly in a day. It has been estimated by research that a human body produces about 1 million precancer cells a day. So, you know, what surprises me as a cancer researcher is not the fact that we develop cancer, is the fact that not everybody develop cancer, because the odds are against us. It is our lifestyle that allow the seed, these microtumors, to raise into a clinically relevant cancer. So we can do a lot to prevent cancer. And the impact of food is that specific plant product contains specific biochemicals that we call phytochemicals. And these plant chemicals, they kill cancer cells, just like standard chemotherapy.
Which is why your recipes are more heavily weighted onto the greens and the fruits and vegetables. Vegetables, exactly. Especially.
Exactly. When we talk about cancer prevention in terms of food, we only talk about fruits and vegetables. These are the places in these ingredients, in these foods, that the chemicals have been isolated, that have been shown in population study and in lab study to kill cancer cell and to inhibit. And the data are striking. I mean, data in prospective study with hundreds of thousands of human in cancer prevention show a 50% reduction of prostate cancer risk for people that eat 3 portions of cabbage vegetable per week.
If that is the case, then what is our problem?
Our problem is that we tend to see chronic disease. Our problem is that for 50 years we eat too much fat, too much sugar, too much salt, and not enough fruits and vegetables. At 50, we are hypertensive, diabetic, we develop cardiac problem, and we develop cancer. We rush to our doctor and tell him, please now treat me, and I give you, 1 month. I've taken 50 years of my life to get me sick, and I give you 1 month to take care of me. We don't have a preventive mentality in Occident. We let the thing break, and we try to find a solution to fix it. We should develop a mentality to avoid the chronic diseases, and I think it's a change in attitude, and I'm glad to hear that, you had some comments from people on the street, and I know that some people are doing it, but unfortunately, cancer is the first cause of disease and first cause of death in Quebec, and it is 1 Canadian out of 3 that will die of cancer, so it's huge number. Nobody died of bird flu or mad cow disease in North America last year, but 500,000 people died of cancer. This is what we should be afraid of, and that's where we should put all our energy at preventing the occurrence of this terrible disease.
Dr. Béliveau, you spoke a few minutes ago about a cancer and obesity. What is the link between obesity and cancer?
It is striking, the link between obesity and cancer. Of course, the link between obesity and type 2 diabetes and cardiac disease is well established. But there is a direct correlation, and that's what we talk about in the second book, between obesity and cancer. 60% of the endometrial cancer in women are in obese women. About one-third of all colorectal cancer is in obese patients. Obesity quadrupled the rate of endometrial cancer, tripled the rate of esophageal cancer, and they double the rate of bladder and colorectal cancer, for example. So it's associated with the fact that fat cells that we call adipocytes are big cell factory for growth factor that the cancer cell need to expand and proliferate. It's a source of inflammatory factor that induces inflammation in tissue, and we estimate that 40% of all cancer are related to inflammatory condition.
And another word you've used a couple of times is industrialized. What do you mean by that?
The history of mankind is 200,000 years of evolution, Homo sapiens. It's 15 million years if we look at the hominids that were our precursor. In the last 80 years, where we started industrializing the food, that means preparing white flour instead of whole wheat flour, we started developing these high fructose corn syrup. We've developed the trans fat. All these chemicals did not exist in nature before, or they were, reduced to very, very specific nature's product. We've developed that at a very, very high scale, and the introduction of these specific food in our chain of a consumption of consumer induces a lot of chronic diseases. Just take the example of omega-3, omega-6, you know, the two essential fatty acids that we cannot synthesize. In a traditional diet, the ratio of omega-3 to omega-6 was 1:1. And in this condition, this produces an anti-inflammatory condition by your metabolism. In the 50s, we start introducing corn and sunflower oil, and this is only omega-6. The ratio of somebody that eat junk food on a regular basis is about 25:1 more, 25 times more omega-6 than omega-3, and omega-6 are pro-inflammatory. That's an example of switching, a very simple switch, just taking industrial food that, such as industrial bread or pizza crust or biscuits and so on, changes very, very drastically your inflammatory condition. That's an example of the bad aspect of industrialization in food.
I'm speaking with Dr. Richard Beliveau. He is the author most recently of Cooking with Foods That Fight Cancer, and he is in our Montreal studio. All right, we have your credentials as a professor of biochemistry. What are your credentials as a cookbook writer?
I love cooking. I think cooking is a part of culture. You know, cooking is fun. We should rediscover the time of eating with friends, of eating with family. In all culture, the meal time has been a privileged moment of sharing our pain and showing our joy. I think we should rediscover that. I like cooking, and that's all the credential I have. What I did is I associated myself with some of the greatest chefs that we have in this province, and we were very strict with them. We imposed them a series of rules to integrate the vegetables that we talk about, to create or to go back to the traditional recipe of, as I said, Indian, Japanese, Chinese, and Mediterranean Sea Area cooking. And the results are absolutely fantastic. I have, almost every day people stopping me on the street, construction worker with yellow hats on their head, telling me that they enjoy eating their black bean Cuban soup or their Bengal beef or their whatever dish that we have in the book. I think it's important to not to invent when we cook, but to rely on the huge experience of human experience that goes, thousands of years of civilization, of culture. Cooking is part of culture, and I think instead of inventing recipes that are horrible, cooking with foods that we don't know, we should, if you want to cook seaweed, I think you should go to Japanese cooking recipe. If you want to cook legumes, you should go to the Arabic countries, because they've cooked these products for thousands of years. And that's the way that we should integrate these products in our diet, instead of trying to invent a recipe for most of the time that will not taste good. I tend to be very much empirical when I go to cooking. Just like as a scientist, we have to be empirical. I think that when we go to cooking, we have to look at the experience of the culture of people that uses these food.
So what would be one of your favorite recipes?
There's a couple of them. I put personally 22 of my own recipe in the book. And often that's the one that people have tried. One that's very good, it's the one that's on the cover. It's a very simple Indian egg cooking. I mean, you take olive oil with lots of garlic and onion. You add turmeric there with any spices that you like. And you just take a can of stewed tomato. You let it simmer, get the water away, and you just break 3 eggs on that and let it cook on the steam with the tomato, and you just cover that with fresh coriander leaf. I mean, it costs about $2.75. You eat 2 people on that, and that's really delicious and loaded with lycopene from tomato.
Because they're cooked, especially, right?
Yeah, exactly. But, you have a garlic, you have onion, you have egg is an excellent source of protein. You have the tomato, you have the coriander leaf, and you have the turmeric. So in a dish like that, you have 5 of the foods that have been proven to have some of the most potent anti-cancer properties. And that's the way. The rates of cancer in India is extremely low compared to North America. For some cancer, it's 35 times lower than it is in North America. For prostate cancer, for example, or kidney cancer, it's 20, 30, 50 times lower the rates of these cancer in India. And when the Indian people migrate to the U.S. or North America, their rates of prostate or kidney cancer reaches that of the North American population. So it's not genetic. It's really, it has a lot to do with lifestyle.
Can I talk to you a little bit about soy? Because obviously you, this is a substance, soy being edamame or tofu, that you feel has cancer-fighting properties. I have a couple of questions, but first of all, last week in the news, there was a story that that our health correspondent Maureen Taylor reported that you should not be seeking out isoflavones, which soy can give you, through supplements.
Oh, yeah, that's we agree. We have a whole chapter on that in the book. We have a chapter in the book that the first book that was called Supplements, a Supplemental Problem. I mean, you should stay away from any kind of supplementation. Studies of this year in the Journal of the American Medical Association for vitamin supplementation have shown that they increase the risk of cancer, not decrease, they increase the risk of cancer. Supplementation of all kind is bad for you. I mean, what you should do is really eat what is recommended by the Food Guide of Canada. That's the way to go, eat fruits and vegetables and not supplementation. The problem with soy is really that soy has an impact on breast cancer reduction when it is taken in young girls before puberty. It has no impact in adult women. So supplementation is to be banned, not only for soy, but for all kind of supplementation.
Can you see that happening?
Yes, I think so. But it's a big industry. It's the supplementation industry sells for $17 billion of supplement every year in North America. Billion. So it's a big industry. And that's this industry that is telling the people that the soil is poor and fruits and vegetables are loaded with insecticide and pesticide.
So this is
all wrong.
Are all supplements bad? Or vitamins, you know?
Yeah, supplement in vitamin that are, you know, that have a medical relevance are folate supplementation for pregnant women to avoid spina bifida in the fetus. That's, you know, largely documented, and all pregnant women know that they should take folate supplementation. The other indication is from the Canadian Cancer Society, vitamin D supplementation in northern countries such as Canada from the month of about November to the month of April, because vitamin D is associated with about a 50% reduction in the breast cancer risk and colorectal cancer risk. These are the only two vitamins that will protect you from chronic disease. The rest, you know, if you eat, follow the Canadian Food Guide recommendation. If you don't have any prescription from your doctor or nutritionist that tells you to eat specifically a specific type of vitamin, you don't need vitamin supplementation. And vitamin C and the cold or the flu, it's a myth. It's a urban legend. There's another more study from Finland that has clearly shown that vitamin C has no protective effect against flu or cold. So this is another joke that is sold to us by the vitamin industry and supplement industry that tries to push us to consume these product instead of eating fruits and vegetables in abundance. The soil is still good. The fruits and vegetables are very good. And in Canada, 80% of fruits and vegetables have no trace amount of pesticides and insecticides. So eat them. Eat them in large amount. Eat them fresh. If they're not so fresh, eat them anyway. You're better eat something not so fresh than not eat anything at all. If you don't have fresh, eat frozen. No frozen, eat canned. I mean, eat them. We don't eat them enough, and that's a major source of chronic disease.
Dr. Beliveau, we have to close here, but just first of all, the cookbook has absolutely opulent, luxuriant photographs. You know, they're all beautifully lit. When are you getting your show on the Food Network?
I don't think so. I'm a cancer researcher. I'm back in my lab. We wrote this book just to help the book is translated. The first book is translated 19 languages in 25 countries. So it's a world success. It has become the world reference for cancer prevention by food. And that was our message. I'm a cancer researcher, and I'm back to my laboratory research. But I think it's important that people understand the issue that are relevant for their own health here.
Dr. Beliveau, once again, I have left a very important subject off our agenda today, so you have to come back. I want to talk about your passion for Japanese armor. Okay?
We need an old hour for that.
Well, okay, good. Then you're going to come back. Thank you so much.
Have a nice day.
Dr. Richard Beliveau is the author of Cooking with Foods That Fight Cancer, and he was in our Montreal studio. That's the best of Sounds Like Canada. Highlights from our show on CBC Radio 1, heard weekday mornings at 10 o'clock. I'm Sheila Rogers. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Jesse Brown. I'm the host of Search Engine, a new CBC radio show that is all about how the internet is changing politics and culture. It's not a gadget show. We don't really care much about technology so much as we care about the effect that technology is having on the world that we live in. All of the surprising and significant and funny stories that we bring you on Search Engine are about things that are happening right now. In the short time that we've been on the air, we've already become the CBC's most popular news podcast in the States. So come find out why. Subscribe to our podcast on CBC's podcasting page or through iTunes.